Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
Thank you for tuning in to radio.lds.org. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, questions and answers about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for all of your questions. We received a letter from Martin from Arizona, and Martin wrote, "Why is the Book of Mormon so important, and how can I get a testimony of it?" The Book of Mormon is a record of God's dealings with the people who lived in the ancient Americas. Prophets of the Lord engraved the original records on gold plates. On September 22, 1827, an angel named Moroni, the last Book of Mormon prophet, delivered these records to the prophet Joseph Smith. By the gift and power of God, the prophet Joseph translated the record into English. The following is from the April 2005 General Conference, President Boyd K. Packer.
The Book of Mormon is an endless treasure of wisdom and inspiration, of counsel and correction, adapted to the capacity of the weak and the weakest among us. At once, it is rich in nourishment for the most learned, if they will humble themselves. From the Book of Mormon, we learn about the plan of salvation, or the great plan of happiness, the doctrines of Christ and of the atonement, why death is necessary, life after death in the spirit world, the workings of the evil one, the order of the priesthood, sacramental prayers, a sure way to judge between good and evil, how to retain a remission of your sins, clear prophetic warnings, and many, many other things pertaining to the redemption of man and to our lives. All are parts of the fullness of the gospel. The Book of Mormon confirms the teachings of the Old Testament. It confirms the teachings of the New Testament. It restores many plain and precious things lost or taken from them. It is, in truth, another testament of Jesus Christ.
The primary purpose of the Book of Mormon is to convince all people that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God, manifesting himself unto all nations. It teaches that all people must come unto him or they cannot be saved. Joseph Smith said that the Book of Mormon is the keystone of our religion, and a man will get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than any other book. The Book of Mormon is another witness for the truths taught in the Bible. It also restores plain and precious truths that have been lost from the Bible through errors in translation or taken away in attempts to pervert the right ways of the Lord. The Bible and the Book of Mormon shall grow together unto the confounding of false doctrine and laying down of contentions and establishing peace. Near the end of the Book of Mormon, the prophet Moroni teaches us how we can know the Book of Mormon is true. In the Book of Moroni, chapter 10, it states, "When ye shall receive these things, I would exhort you that ye would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if ye shall ask with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost." President Gordon B. Hinckley talks about the importance of the Book of Mormon in our religion in the October 1984 General Conference.
The Book of Mormon. I hold it in my hand. It is real. It has weight and substance which can be physically measured. I open its pages and read, and it has language both beautiful and uplifting. The ancient record from which it was translated came out of the dust out of the earth as a voice speaking from the dust. It came as the testimony of generations of men and women who lived their lives upon the earth, who struggled with adversity, who quarreled and fought, who at various times lived the divine law and prospered, and at other times forsook their God and went down to destruction. It contains what has been described as the fifth gospel, a moving testament of the new world concerning the visit of the resurrected Redeemer on the soil of this hemisphere. The evidence for its truth, for its validity in a world that is prone to demand evidence, lies not in archaeology or anthropology, though these may be helpful to some. It lies not in word research or historical analysis, though these may be confirmatory. The evidence for its truth and validity lie within the covers of the book itself. The test of its truth lies in its reading. It is a book of God. Reasonable men may sincerely question its origin, but those who have read it prayerfully have come to know by a power beyond their natural senses that it is true, that it contains the Word of God, that it outlines saving truths of the everlasting gospel, that it came forth by the gift and power of God to the convincing of the Jew and Gentile that Jesus is the Christ. It is here. It must be explained. It can be explained only as the translator himself explained its origin. Hand in hand with the Bible, whose companion volume it is, it stands as another witness to a doubting generation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is an unassailable cornerstone of our faith.
You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, questions and answers about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Mormon Channel received a letter from Martin in Arizona, and Martin wrote, "Why is the Book of Mormon so important, and how can I get a testimony of it?" Martin, the primary evidence for the authenticity or truth of the Book of Mormon comes from God. As promised in the Book of Mormon, anyone can know of its truth by reading it and asking God with a sincere heart and with real intent to know that it is true. With real intent means that those who ask must be willing or commit to act upon the manifestation once it's received. Otherwise, there is no promise. The Holy Ghost confirms the truth by revelation directly to the individual. All other evidence for authenticity of the Book of Mormon are secondary. Millions of people have testified that they have received a personal witness from God by the power of the Holy Ghost that the Book of Mormon is true. In the October 2005 General Conference, Elder L. Tom Perry talks about President Hinckley's challenge to reread the Book of Mormon by the end of that year.
The August issue of the Ensign brought with it a challenge from President Hinckley to read or reread the Book of Mormon before the end of the year. Why does President Hinckley believe reading the Book of Mormon will be so beneficial to each of us? He states, "Its appeal is timeless as truth, as universal as mankind. It is the only book that contains within its covers a promise that by divine power the reader may know with certainty of its truth. Its origin is miraculous. When the story of that origin is first told to one unfamiliar with it, it is almost unbelievable. But the book is here to be felt and handled and read. No one can dispute its presence. No other written testimony so clearly illustrates the fact that when men and women and nations walk in the fear of God and in obedience to His commandments, they prosper and grow. But when they disregard Him and His word, there comes a decay that, unless arrested by righteousness, leads to impotence and death. Why is the reading of the Book of Mormon so important to us today? President Hinckley has encouraged us to read the Book of Mormon to lift us above the things of the world, to enjoy the things of the Lord. He said, "Without reservation, I promise you, if each of you will observe this simple program, regardless of how many times previously you have read the Book of Mormon, there will come into your lives and into your homes an added measure of the Spirit of the Lord, a strengthened resolution to walk in obedience to His commandments, a stronger testimony of the reality, living reality, of the Son of God. These blessings are far more valuable than material possessions. If we will approach President Hinckley's challenge with faith, we have the sure promise of our profit, of the blessings we will receive resulting from our study of the Book of Mormon. We will find, as Nephi and his family did, that the Scriptures are desirable, yea, even of great worth unto us. Can we also receive the blessing of Moroni promised as he closed his writings in the Book of Mormon? Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourself all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourself all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you're perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God.
Thanks for listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. Our question today comes from Martin in Arizona, and Martin writes, why is the Book of Mormon so important, and how can I get a testimony of it? The Book of Mormon is another testament of Jesus Christ. It was written and preserved by the original writers to convince future readers that Jesus is the Christ and to persuade them to come unto Christ and be saved. The Lord has revealed that the Book of Mormon is translated from the plates containing engravings of ancient records. The translation of the Book of Mormon is true. It contains the truth of his words. It was translated by power from on high. It contains a record of a fallen people. It contains the fullness of the gospel. In many other verses of the Doctrine and Covenants, the Lord refers to the people and prophets of the Book of Mormon. Joseph Smith translated the Book of Mormon, over 500 pages, by the gift and power of God in about 60 days. During the translation process, Joseph dictated one line at a time, but did not pause to review previous sentences or pages. There is no evidence that he had any notes, manuscripts, or documents to assist him during the translation. There is also no evidence that Joseph Smith did any research or much reading at all before he published the Book of Mormon. The resulting book, with its complex account of individuals, communities, and nations, religious teachings, and source materials, is internally consistent and evidence in itself that Joseph Smith did not write it. The fact that Joseph Smith actually had the golden plates for a period in the late 1820s has been established by 11 witnesses who saw the plates and handled them. From the time the Book of Mormon was first published until now, critics have assailed its authenticity in a variety of ways. All attempts to find an explanation for the origin of the Book of Mormon other than the one given in the book itself have failed. There is no evidence to discredit the prophet Joseph Smith's testimony. The church continues to grow, and people from all nations continue to receive a knowledge of the truth of the Book of Mormon by the power of the Holy Ghost. President Ezra Taft Benson talks about the Book of Mormon as the keystone to our religion in the October 1986 General Conference.
There are three ways in which the Book of Mormon is the keystone of our religion. It is the keystone in the witness of Christ. It is the keystone of our doctrine. It is the keystone of our testimony. The Book of Mormon is the keystone in our witness of Jesus Christ, who is himself the cornerstone of everything we do. It bears witness of his reality with power and clarity. Unlike the Bible, which passed through generations of copyists, translators, and corrupt religionists who tampered with the text, the Book of Mormon came from writer to reader in just one inspired step of translation. Therefore, its testimony of the Master is clear, undiluted, and full of power. But it does even more. Much of the Christian world today rejects the divinity of the Savior. This question, his miraculous birth, his perfect life, and the reality of his glorious resurrection. The Book of Mormon teaches in plain and unmistakable terms about the truth of all of those. It also provides the most complete explanation of the doctrine of the atonement. Truly, this divinely inspired book is a keystone in bearing witness to the world that Jesus is the Christ. The Book of Mormon is also the keystone of the doctrine of the resurrection. As mentioned before, the Lord Himself has stated that the Book of Mormon contains the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That does not mean it contains every teaching, every doctrine ever revealed. Rather, it means that in the Book of Mormon, we will find the fullness of those doctrines required for our salvation. And they are taught plainly and simply, so that even children can learn the ways of salvation and exaltation. The Book of Mormon offers so much that broadens our understanding of the doctrines of salvation. Without it, much of what is taught in other scriptures would not be nearly so plain and precious. Finally, the Book of Mormon is the keystone of testimony. Just as the arch crumbles if the keystone is removed, so does all the church stand or fall with the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon. The enemies of the church understand this clearly. This is why they go to such great lengths to disprove the Book of Mormon. For if it can be discredited, the prophet Joseph Smith goes with it. So does the claim to priesthood keys and the revelations and the restored church. But in like manner, if the Book of Mormon is true, and millions have so testified that they have the witness of the Spirit that it is indeed true, then one must accept the claims of the restoration and all that accompany it. Yes, my beloved brothers and sisters, the Book of Mormon is the keystone of our religion, the keystone of our testimony, the keystone of our doctrine, and the keystone of the witness of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A here at radio.lds.org. Our question today comes from Martin in Arizona, and he writes, "Why is the Book of Mormon so important, and how can I get a testimony of it?" In the October 1986 General Conference, President Ezra Taft Benson gives a warning.
These promises, increased love and harmony in the home, greater respect between parent and child, increased spirituality and righteousness. These are not idle promises, but exactly what the prophet Joseph Smith meant when he said the Book of Mormon will help us draw near to God. Brethren and sisters, I implore you with all my heart that you consider with great solemnity the importance of the Book of Mormon to you personally and to the church collectively. Over 10 years ago, I made the following statement regarding the Book of Mormon. Do eternal consequences rest upon our response to this book? Yes, either to our blessing or our condemnation. Every Latter-day Saint should make the study of this book a lifetime pursuit. Otherwise, he is placing his soul in jeopardy and neglecting that which could give spiritual and intellectual unity to his whole life. There is a difference between a convert who is built on the rock of Christ through the Book of Mormon and stays hold of that iron rod, and one who is not. I reaffirm those words to you this day. Let us not remain under condemnation with its scourge and judgment by treating lightly this great and marvelous gift the Lord has given to us. Rather, let us win the promises associated with treasuring it up in our hearts. The Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 54 to 58, we read, "And your minds in times past have been darkened because of unbelief, and because you have treated lightly the things you have received. Which vanity and unbelief have brought the whole church under condemnation. And this condemnation resteth upon the children of Zion, even all. And they shall remain under this condemnation until they repent and remember the new covenant, even the Book of Mormon, and the former commandments which I have given them, not only to say, but to do according to that which I have written, that they might bring forth fruit meet for their Father's kingdom. Otherwise there remaineth a scourge and a judgment to be poured out upon the children of Zion."
We would like to leave you with a powerful testimony of the Book of Mormon from Elder Jeffrey R. Holland from the October 2009 General Conference.
May I refer to a modern last days testimony. When Joseph Smith and his brother Hiram started for Carthage to face what they knew would be an imminent martyrdom, Hiram read these words of comfort to the heart of his brother. "Thou hast been faithful, wherefore thou shalt be made strong, even unto the sitting down in the place with which I have prepared, in the mansions of my Father. And now I, Moroni, bid farewell until we shall meet before the judgment seat of Christ." A few short verses from the 12th chapter of Ether in the Book of Mormon. Before closing the book, Hiram turned down the corner of the page from which he had read, marking it as part of the everlasting testimony for which these two brothers were about to die. "I hold in my hand that book, the very copy from which Hiram read, the same corner of the page turned down, still visible." Later, when actually incarcerated in the jail, Joseph the prophet turned to the guards who held him captive and bore a powerful testimony of the divine authenticity of the Book of Mormon. Shortly thereafter, pistol and ball would take the lives of these two testators. As one of a thousand elements of my own testimony of the divinity of the Book of Mormon, I submit this as yet one more evidence of its truthfulness. In this, their greatest and last hour of need, I ask you, would these men blaspheme before God by continuing to fix their lives, their honor, and their own search for eternal salvation on a book, and by implication, a church and a ministry they had fictitiously created out of whole cloth? Never mind that their wives are about to be widows and their children fatherless. Never mind that their little band of followers will yet be houseless, homeless, and friendless, and that their children will leave footprints of blood across frozen rivers and an untamed prairie floor. Never mind that legions will die and other legions live. declaring in the four quarters of this earth that they know the Book of Mormon and the church which it espouses it to be true. Disregard all of that and tell me whether in this hour of death these two men would enter the presence of their eternal judge, quoting from and finding solace in a book which, if not the very word of God, would brand them as imposters and charlatans until the end of time. They would not do that. They were willing to die rather than deny the divine origin and the eternal truthfulness of the Book of Mormon. For 179 years, this book has been examined and attacked, denied and deconstructed, targeted and torn apart, like perhaps no other book in modern religious history, perhaps like no other book in any religious history. And still it stands. Failed theories about its origins have been born, parroted, and died. From Ethan Smith to Solomon Spaulding to deranged paranoid to cunning genius. None of these frankly pathetic answers for this book has ever withstood examination, because there is no other answer than the one Joseph gave as its young, unlearned translator. In this I stand with my own great-grandfather, who said simply enough, no wicked man could write such a book as this, and no good man would write it unless it were true and he were commanded of God to do so. I testify that one cannot come to full faith in this latter-day work and thereby find the fullest measure of peace and comfort in these our times until he or she embraces the divinity of the Book of Mormon and the Lord Jesus Christ of whom it testifies. If anyone is foolish enough or misled enough to reject 531 pages of a heretofore unknown text teeming with literary and Semitic complexity, without honestly attempting to account for the origin of those pages somehow, especially without accounting for their powerful witness of Jesus Christ and the profound spiritual impact that witness has had on what is now tens of millions of readers. If that's the case, then such persons, elect or otherwise, have been deceived. And if they leave this church, they must do so by crawling over or under or around the Book of Mormon to make their exit. In that sense, the book is what Christ himself was said to be, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, a barrier in the path of one who wishes not to believe in this work. Witnesses, even witnesses who were for a time hostile to Joseph, testified to their death that they had seen an angel and had handled the plates. Quote, they have been shown unto us by the power of God and not of man, they declared. Wherefore we know of a surety that the work is true. Now, I did not sail with the brother of Jared in crossing an ocean and settling in a new world. I did not hear King Benjamin speak his angelically delivered sermon. I did not proselyte with Alma and Amulek, nor witness the fiery death of innocent believers. I was not among the Nephite crowd who touched the wounds of the resurrected Lord, nor did I weep with Mormon and Moroni over the destruction of an entire civilization. but my testimony of this record. And the peace it brings to the human heart is as binding and unequivocal as was theirs. Like them, I give my name unto the world, to witness unto the world that that which I have seen, and like them, I lie not, God bearing witness of it. I ask that my testimony of the Book of Mormon and all that it implies, given today under my oath and my office, be recorded by men on earth and angels in heaven. I hope I have a few years left in my last days. But whether I do or do not, I want it absolutely clear when I stand before the judgment bar of God that I declared to the world in the most straightforward language I could summon that the Book of Mormon is true, that it came forth the way Joseph said it came forth and was given to bring happiness and hope to the faithful in the travail of the last days. My witness echoes that of Nephi, who wrote part of the book in his last days, and I quote, "Hearken unto these words and believe in Christ. And if ye believe not in these words, believe in Christ. And if you shall believe in Christ, you shall believe these words, for they are the words of Christ. And they teach all men that they should do good. If they're not the words of Christ, judge ye, for Christ will show you with power and great glory that they are his words at the last day." Brothers and sisters, God always provides safety for the soul, and with the Book of Mormon, he has again done that in our time. Remember this declaration by Jesus himself: "Whoso treasureth up my word shall not be deceived, and in the last days neither your heart nor your faith will fail you. Of this I earnestly testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen."
A powerful testimony indeed from Elder Jeffrey R. Holland. Thank you so much to Martin for writing into the Mormon Channel's Q&A. Why is the Book of Mormon so important and how can I get a testimony of it? Hopefully we've answered your question, Martin. If you have a question, feel free to drop us a line at radio@ldschurch.org. Thank you so much for listening to the Mormon Channel.
You've been listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.